Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. From the Edmore Subgrass Cadillac Studios. Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
In this hour, somebody will win a $50 gift card to Duffy's.
That's big time.
Sometime before 6 o'clock. Who's coming up at 6? Alex Dono tonight?
Alex Dono and Frank Zaffrey.
Fight night. Is tonight fight night?
Yes, it
All
is.
All right, fight night at 6 o'clock. Before 6 o'clock, someone's going to win a $50 gift card to Duffy's, so you do not want to go anywhere. In a minute or so, Heath Evans from NFL Network is going to join us. I know a lot of people, you know, every time we have Heath Evans on, he says things that annoy Dolphins fans often.
Oh, yes.
But he's good radio. He happens to be a local guy, too. You know, he grew up in West Palm Beach, went to high school in West Palm Beach. Played briefly with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I played 1 year with them. He wasn't here long.
Wasn't it one season? Was it longer than one season with the Dolphins?
Only my rookie year. I'm not sure if Larry will look it up, but I think only my rookie year we played together. 05?
A lot of people accuse him of being a Patriots homer, but he played longer for the Patriots. Yeah, just one season, 05?
One season, 05, yeah. He played for both teams, actually.
In that year?
New England and the Dolphins.
One Super Bowl with them, like... If you see his career with the Patriots versus his career with the Dolphins, it would be obvious that he leaned towards the Patriot way because it worked for him.
He's a very outspoken guy as well, so he's never shy to share an opinion with somebody. And so a lot of times Dolphins fans, you know, because every time we say Heath Evans is coming up, there's always people that are going to text in and they say, okay, I'm out. I'm gone. Yeah. But I say, you know, you take for with a grain of salt what he says. He's got his ideas. He's got his opinions. He makes for good radio. You don't have to agree with him, but I do think that he's a very good radio guest. He's on the better end on the spectrum of radio guests.
I love to hear the other side.
Right.
Like, I do the Dolphin pregame, so I love to hear the other teams or people that like the other team or just the outside of South Florida opinion because it educates you. You don't have to just listen to talk. You listen to listen and learn some things about some. I enjoy hearing national guys because they have that national, you know, mind frame.
He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Heath Evans from NFL Network. He's an NFL Network analyst. You see him throughout the week on NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Thursday Night Football kicks off this week with Texans and Bengals. That's tomorrow exclusively on NFL Network. And Heath, every time you come on, I always give the same speech, which is whenever I say Heath Evans is coming on, people text in, click, I'm gone, you know, because they perceive you as this Patriots homer and a Dolphins hater. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I just think you're outspoken and not afraid to share what you believe to be the truth.
Well, it was never the case. And when Adam Gase got there and started making some of the changes that we saw lead to 10 wins last year, despite a lot of bad football to get to 10 wins, anyone that was willing to listen, at least to the previous remarks about some of the previous coaches and decision-making down there, I was right. So, and those haters, chanting those, they're our biggest fans. They're the ones that listen the most intently. So no one's clicking, I promise you.
There was a guy that I was texting with. You talk about the haters being the biggest fans. There was a guy I was texting with a couple segments ago where he was like, you're terrible in the afternoons, and I don't know how Crowder does it with you. And then he started listing off all the Sedano was better than you, and Hank was better than you. And he started. And so I was texting him back. I'm like, you keep a list of your radio friends? Like, you have a ranking here? And he's like, oh, you're insecure. And I said, you go home, you work on your little radio list of your radio friends. But you're right. Yeah. The haters are generally the longest listeners. You must get that a lot too, I'm guessing, when you share your opinions on NFL Network.
Listen, I shared an opinion on Twitter today that was, you know, I thought is well balanced and well thought out on all the Jameel Hill stuff about how I really feel. And people can spin hate anyway. It's amazing how hateful people really are. And it's on both sides of the fence, politically speaking. It's just crazy to me.
Well,
what is
your opinion? So Jameel Hill comes out. She says that Donald Trump is a white supremacist and he has surrounded himself with white supremacists. And apparently ESPN made her take down those tweets. And now the White House today, the press secretary, said something along the lines of that sounds like a fireable offense to us to say that about the president. And so what was your tweet? What was your take?
My video tweet was that, listen, this is America. And I guess there's a difference between slander and freedom of speech, although the legalese can take me to court on that stuff. But the deal is we can't have it both ways. You know, you guys know me well enough to know I align on a conservative side of thinking. But I am never going to wish ill will, any type of hate, a fireable offense, or even a suspension for someone voicing their opinion about what they passionately believe. And listen, I don't believe much of what Jameel believes. But that doesn't make me have an authority where my opinions or my viewpoints are better than hers. And I would hope she would say that my viewpoints aren't beneath hers and that we can just agree to disagree. I would hope if I had some conservative stance against abortion or something else that she would say, hey, listen, I politely and respectfully disagree with Heath. I believe he's wrong on this subject matter, but no, Heath shouldn't be fired because he believes abortion is wrong or whatever it may be that I have a take that other people would agree with or disagree with. So my thought is, hey, conservatives, don't play the double standard. Don't be a part of the hypocrisy. Don't be crying out with hate for people to get fired. Don't be screaming that her voice is less valuable than our voice. Because from the conservative side, I think if most people are willing to look at it fairly, there's been people at ESPN fired for conservative viewpoints. And so my point was, hey, let's be a part of the healing of this nation instead of a part of the problem. And we don't want people trying to get us fired when we voice conservative viewpoints. So why would we try to get people fired when they verse, you know, their more liberal viewpoint? So it is what it is. I think her comments are somewhat divisive. I don't think they're factual. I think I could back them up with plenty of facts about men of color, women of color, and his businesses and everything else. But Donald Trump's a grown man, and grown men don't need people to defend him. So it is what it is.
Hey, what do they tell y'all? Because we're big time radio guys down here. But no, NFL Network, ESPN, you know, like to that level, to the national TV, you know, audience. What do they tell you about? Because I was in the locker room with you. You're outspoken about everything, political, any. You always have an opinion, I'll say, Heath. What do they tell you about that?
They don't ever, people don't believe it. You know, when I come out in support of Roger Goodell, I'm called a company man. When I come out against him with some of the Deflategate stuff, people are like, oh, you're going to get fired. Like, listen, Channing, you know me. I'm going to do me, and I'm going to try to do it with respect and try to do it with facts, you know, that numbers that you can actually argue with. And so, but they, at least with, you know, my conversations with my bosses as high up here in the NFL, I've never had a conversation with anybody telling me what I can and can't say. And no one's ever tried to mute me, and no one's ever told me what game to pick, who's a winner, and no one's ever told me, you know, who or what I can't say in the sense of the media of politics or religion or anything else. So I try to stick to sports, but I also think as anyone that has a position of power or
a platform,
or just leadership, like I think it's our job to respectfully speak our beliefs and then back them up with facts. You know, my analysis of the Dolphins all those years, you know, proved to be true. Like, and I learned that from Mike Holmgren, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, players like, you know, that Channing and I got to play with taught me how to look at this game. And so people can disagree, and I have no problem with people disagreeing, but let's deal without hate. Let's not be a part of the division of this country. And let's just try to respect people, for goodness sake. Like, someone just said he hated me on Twitter. I'm like, you don't even know me. Like, how do you hate me? You know? So I'm like, you're part of the problem. So,
yeah, no, I mean, people do that, though, like the text and Twitter tough guys. Like, that's that's a very easy thing to, oh, you're a bleep and bleep and this and that and whatever. But the truth
first
of the matter is,
ask for an autograph when you see him in the mall.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter, I like having, I guess, intelligent debate. Sometimes it's not
absolutely
intelligent, but I like having back and forth with people that don't share my political viewpoints because I'm very liberal. But I do believe I'm with you. If you're going to crush someone for sharing a viewpoint, And the only reason that you're going to crush him is because it doesn't line up with your viewpoint, then you're kind of missing the picture on that one. And certainly, you know, with Jemele Hill, too, I don't think she even used SportsCenter 6 as the place where she said that. It was her own Twitter account, which makes it even more difficult for me to try to figure out, okay, where, at what point do you draw the line there?
Right. Well, if her bosses have said, hey, let's steer clear of X, Y, and Z, and she crosses those lines, that's for ESPN to decide whether they fire her or not. I'm just never going to be the one for some, even like we've had people fired in our community and broadcasting for saying the wrong word at the wrong time because people get offended. People make mistakes. Like, who would want to go to some plumber's job or you know, someone that works at a mall that messes up a kiosk financial report or that cuts a pipe too short on a construction job? Like, we all make mistakes, and people are so full of hate and sometimes envy and jealousy that they hold people to a standard that they don't want to be held to themselves. So, like, I've been hypocritical before. I've played double standards before. We're all guilty of some version of nonsense. But let's not make a practice of it. And I need the leaders in every community, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Irish, like, to really stand up and use their voice of, hey, let's respectfully go about our viewpoints. And let's do this in a way where we can truly mend our country. Because the truth is, we've seen through these hurricane efforts that the media portrays that we're 50-50 and we all want to kill each other. It's just not the truth. You know, one hurricane hits Houston. JJ's able to pull in $30 million from different NFL owners from all different various walks of life. And it proves that the media stirs up a hatred that I think they're small pockets. They're small sects of idiots, like the white supremacists we saw marching weeks back in Charlottesville. If I was president, I'd string them all up and just shoot them. The world's a better place without them. But I also walked through the mall in Atlanta on the way through training camp, and I tried to start a conversation with a guy shining shoes that happened to be an African-American guy, and he literally looked me up and down like trash and didn't even respond to my comment. My sister was with me. She had like the same interaction, and so we have hatred on both sides of the fence that we got to do something about, and hate at any portion, racism at any portion, hating me because I'm white or me hating someone because they're black, it's all got to go away.
Yeah, no, I think it's well said. I think, I think again, that it all starts with dialogue and true dialogue where you acknowledge what you're hearing from someone else. While it may not be your opinion, it doesn't make their opinion invalid.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting pulled over and being scared that a cop was going to harass me. But Marshall Faulk can. And that's a Hall of Famer that's still scared. No, I'm going to drive to a lighted area. Well, I don't understand that, but it doesn't mean it's not true. And I have a lot of cop friends that I would go to war with anywhere to support them and to take care of their families or whatever. But I'm not in everyone's shoes, and I haven't walked everyone's way of life. And do I think there's a bunch of bad cops out there? Ultimately, no. But are there probably a bunch of Napoleonic syndrome cops out there that are taking out high school bullies and then went into the cop profession just to kind of get back and have some control and power to abuse their position of power? Sure, I'm sure they're out there. But we got to just step back and say, man, I don't have all the answers, and my experiences aren't someone else's answers, but it has to happen on both sides of the fence. And it's hard for a white man to say that because the other minority communities, a lot of them, let me back up, some of them automatically shut out anything that I would say just because of the color of my skin. That's racism, and we got to do away with that. And I readily admit that I don't understand everyone's like plight in life, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't offer value, just like Channing couldn't offer value to my life. I didn't grow up as he did, and that's just where we got to be. But until both sides start addressing it with, like, man, we've got to love people. And I know a lot of people don't want to deal with that word. You know, it's much easier to spin hate than to spin love. But it's got to be both sides. And that's just where we're not even close.
The funny thing is, I think there's so much more love. And I think you're right. I think the media, you know, we start to create these little pockets of division. And then you run with that because that seems to get more traction than anything else. And I think that more people are along the lines of, yeah, let's dialogue and let's hear from all sides, and let's create, you know, unique and correct decisions based on everyone's opinion. I think most people aspire to that, at least.
Well, I'd hope so. You know, and I hope any teammate that I ever played with. I mean, and Channing was right. Like, I am. I'm opinionated, but I always at least come with facts. Like, if you're willing to listen, and I'm always willing to listen, too. I mean, I've learned a lot in the last couple months by hanging out with you know, my conversations with my boys here that turn into different types of conversations because of the environment we're in. But if I owned a media source, I wouldn't have given them prick white supremacists one second of airtime because it is such a small minute pocket in our country, and then yet we blow it into something that it's not, and then we have something that develops and stirs up more hatred in people. And so my stances are, listen, if you're a child molester or if you're a racist or if you're some of these extreme type people, I'm of the belief system, let's string you up in New York Times and kill you, our country will be a better place. And shoot, that might get me fired this day and age, but the world's a better place without hatred, and we got too much of it on every side of the fence.
Yeah, I agree with some of what you said there. I'm not certain I agree with
I know,
all
you
of
don't want to string
there.
People up. But yeah, I grew up with a Marine, so we take the child molesters. And
I'm okay with stringing up the child molesters. I think you're onto something there. I can't imagine what purpose they're serving in the world.
Oh gosh, they're destroying souls. That's what they're doing, and don't even get me started on that one.
Is this what NFL Network had in mind when they booked Heath with us?
All.
Probably not.
I don't know.
Heath Evans from NFL Network.
Our network.
NFL Total Access, 7 p.m. throughout the week, and then Thursday night football kicks off with Texans and Bengals, 8:25 tomorrow. You did mention the hurricane as we were having a heavy conversation here. You grew up in West Palm Beach, right? You went to school in West Palm, so hurricanes are nothing new to you. You lived through them.
Yeah, well, I mean, shoot, I got cut in the middle of one. Channing remembers we had to play the Chiefs on that Friday in 05, and then on Sunday, Nick says, hey, you suck, you're no good, we're going to cut you. So, yeah, that was a couple hurricanes, a real one and an emotional one all in the same day.
Was that the way that you got cut? He said, you suck and we don't need you?
No, it really didn't happen that way at all. They were like, hey, don't sign with another team, we might bring you back, we're going to try some two tight end stuff. And then I was blessed to get a call from Bill, and the rest was history. But
he told you not to sign with another team as he was letting you go?
Well, that's the conversations were after he asked me to drive an hour to bring my playbook in. So, listen, Nick, I think Nick's done some changing. He's the best college football coach to ever coach the game. And in his defense, if he would have gotten his way and gotten Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, if the docs would have signed off on Drew Brees' shoulder instead of Dante Culpepper's knee, he might still be the Miami Dolphins head coach and might have a Super Bowl ring on his finger. But, we'll never know. So, Nick's a heck of a coach. I've blasted him in the past for some personality issues, but all in all, the man knows the game of ball.
Heath, what's going on in Foxborough right now? They get the hell beat out of them. They get the hell beat out of them in Foxborough by Kansas City. What's going on with them? Because I don't think Brady's done and the defense is trash. I just think Belichick got to get back in the lab.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, anyone that wants to say, you know, Brady in 6 months gone from what we saw at the Super Bowl to being washed up is, I've got a bunch of adjectives for him. I'll just save them so I don't get fired today. But the defense didn't show up, and the offense, we saw great offense, and then we saw horrible offense. We saw some decent O-line play, and we saw some bad O-line play. The defensive growth throughout the year will be a project, as it's kind of always been. It was that same way last year. It didn't start as bad last year, but it's a growth process. Offensively, listen, they'll improvise, readjust, and do what they've always done.
Heath Evans, NFL Network. Man, we're running out of time, and we didn't get to talk much football at all. And we missed a lot of football down here because power's been out for Hurricane Irma, so we didn't get to see a ton. So I don't know what to say other than with the Dolphins and the Chargers on Sunday. What do you expect out of the Dolphins this season with Jay Cutler now as the quarterback, not Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I hate it for Ryan, and I hate it for Ryan and Adam together because I think we saw enough last year to think special things were, you know, in the oven for this year. With Jay, he's teased me too much, so I just refuse to kind of throw my blessing behind him. I think you're going to see some elite quarterback play at times, and hopefully Adam can kind of continue the the recipe of success that he had with Jay, you know, a couple years removed in Chicago, because I believe top to bottom that was Jay's best year by far. And there's more weapons. There's a better offensive line. You had Matt Forte in Chicago, but you got one heck of a back when healthy, and that O-line's together in Miami. And then you got a gritty defense. You know, the defense at times was very, very lackluster, but there was a lot of potential there. But potential we know can get you fired. But that defense should be significantly better. We'll see.
Hey, Heath, on the way out, I got to ask you something, man. Am I a curmudgeon? Because it does not look like real football going on right now. I know they're changing the rules. I know they're not hitting at camp. Is it worth it, the trade-off, to have, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks of mediocre play to save the guys' bodies?
You know, it's funny. A lot of coaches I talk to talk about the preseason kind of extending into 3 or 4 weeks into the regular season, because practice has been so restricted. The offseason starts later. The game does appear slower to me earlier in the years, the last couple years. You know, in sense of rule changes, I feel bad for the defensive players. You know how fast this game is, yep. And to have to adjust these, you know, millimeter angles of hits, you know, in these split-second decision windows of time is tough. But the game, I think the college game has watered down the NFL game to some extent, because guys are just so far mentally and developmentally behind the eight ball because of all these spread offenses that aren't real football.
Heath Evans, NFL Network, once again on the text machine. You have been very divisive. People love you and people hate you, and it's one text after another. It's like, he's great, and then, you know, bleep him. So there you go. You've done exactly what you're supposed to do. I hope you didn't do anything that got you fired from NFL Network. That would be bad.
Nah, we've got good people here, man, so we're all good. We'll talk soon, guys. Best of luck to the Dolphins.
Heath Evans, look at that. He said best of luck to the Dolphins. I want to have you on just to tell Nick Saban his jackass stories. Can we do that? Can we save that for a day? Because I hate that guy.
No.
Leave Nick alone.
We've been down that road before.
He made you drive to the facility an hour to hand in your playbook and then said, hey, we don't want you to work for us, but don't take a job elsewhere.
No, he asked me on the phone if I would bring it in, and I was like, no, I live an hour away, and oh yeah, we have like a Category 4 hurricane I literally just got done boarding up the house with my dad. So, I mean, it was like we were hours away from landfall, and I was asked to bring my playbook down. So there's another fine story.
Nick Saban asked you to put yourself in harm's way so that he could get a possession of his back?
But you melt in Saban hugs, though.
There's that liberal media.
See you, Heath.
See you guys.
Heath Evans, NFL Network. I enjoy talking to him. I don't care what you guys say. I think he's a good interview.
You speak about Saban. Somebody on text machine brings up something. With all this acceptance and we're trying to switch to love, mm-hmm. I think you owe Nick Saban an apology.
Hell no. I believe in lots of sides for lots of things, but not when it comes to Nick Saban. Dude asked Heath Evans to drive into the eye of a Category 5 hurricane to turn his playbook in.
I heard it was Category 6.
Category 6, it was, I remember. It had just reached Category 6 status. And that guy asked Heath Evans to drive his car into it.
Motorcycle.
People want to hear more Dolphins talk. Kim Bocamper is going to join us next. Bocamper's in L.A. with the Miami Dolphins, where they're practicing this week. So he'll join us next. I want to talk to you about Florida Technical College before we get to them. Florida Technical College has been in Florida for over 35 years. They have 6 conveniently located campuses throughout Florida. In South Florida, they're in Cutler Bay and Pembroke Pines. Listen to what I'm about to tell you here, because this is important. A lot of people, you may have had a few days off from work because of Hurricane Irma, and now today just about everybody was back. Maybe you're driving home. You hate the job that you have. FTC offers diploma programs which can be completed in 18 months or less, associate and 4-year degrees. FTC also offers online programs for those who wish to study on their own time and not put your career plans on hold. Florida Technical College, they offer programs in high-demand industries. Listen to these. Culinary arts, barbering, cosmetology, medical assistance, criminal justice, network administration, AC repair with PLC and welding. And the best part is they've got flexible schedules with daytime and nighttime classes so you can fit it to your own personal needs. And their programs are very hands-on as well. And there's financial aid available if you qualify. You can follow them on social media, Florida Technical College. You can find them on Facebook. under Florida Technical College FTC. You could check out the website, ftccollege.edu. That's ftccollege.edu. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait another minute. Make a great move for your future today with Florida Technical College. Campuses in Cutler Bay and Pembroke Pines. Online courses as well. Go to ftccollege.edu.
Radio.com.
Yeah. I mean, he's a South Florida guy. He's a legend down here, but I think he's a West Coast guy, right?
Yeah, he's going back out there.
Kimbo Camper joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, legendary Miami Dolphin. I think he's already out there, right? You're on the West Coast, right, Kim?
Yeah, I've been out here since we got out here Friday morning. I got the opportunity to jump on the Dolphin charter that Steve Ross set up for the staff and family and players that were still in South Florida. So I got out here on Friday morning and been here ever since.
So your restaurants, by the way, before we talk some football, your restaurants, your home here in South Florida, everything is okay?
Yeah, we're good. We're open in Naples. We're open in Estero. We're open in Fort Lauderdale and Miramar. We're supposed to be open in Plantation. We had electricity yesterday, but then it went out. So hopefully we'll be open there. But certainly by this weekend, I think we'll be up and running for all of them. I mean, it's pretty amazing to have two restaurants on the West Coast, three on the East Coast, with this thing, you know, going to do damage on one side or another and coming out relatively unscathed. So we were very, very lucky with that.
So the two West Coast bow campers went through this unscathed?
Unscathed, yeah.
Wow.
And then, we have a generator in Naples, so we were up and running the next day in Naples. So, yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing with all that bluster that was going on and all the, you know, the different changes of directions and where this thing could have gone and where it went to come away, as lucky as we did is, just got to look up to the sky and thank them, you know.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. Kimbo Camper's with us. He's in L.A. with the Miami Dolphins. So we were talking about this, okay? So, look, you play with the hand that you're dealt. I get that. Mm-hmm. But the Dolphins have a tough road to hoe here. Dolphins, I think, have significant obstacles this season because of Hurricane Irma. So it'll start with the Chargers this Sunday. Then they're going to fly home. And they've got the Jets. They're at the Jets for their second game, which is really week three. So they'll come home after the Chargers game. They'll be home a few days. They'll fly out to the Jets. And then I'm guessing from New York is when they'll leave for London, right?
No, they'll come back to South Florida. I think their plan is to leave on Thursday from South Florida.
Oh, really?
I think that's
okay.
So, yeah, I don't think, look, they've been, look, I mean, you talk about, you know, this, but let's take it back. Let's take it back a couple weeks to, they spent 4 days in Philadelphia, you know, having dual practices with them and then playing the game. Then came here, then flew to Minnesota, then came back, then went through the turmoil of Hurricane Irma, then came out and relocated out here. It'll be out here for 6 days, 7 days, however long that is, and then go back and head to New York. So this team is, it's definitely a little road weary, and it's been through some things that a lot of other teams hadn't had to go through, but you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, no one's going to feel sorry for this team. No one's going to, you know, worry about what they've been through when they kick the ball off Sunday down here in Los Angeles with the Chargers. It's about, you know, this team has to get into the football side of it. This team has to get off to a fast start. They can't have a 1-4 like they had last year and expect to get themselves to where they want to be. So, but I think they've done, you know, I think this organization's done a pretty good job of trying to make things as seamless as possible, but it's going to be a very, very difficult stretch, really, for these first three games at least, and before they get back. I think it's October 8th is the first time they'll get back for a game at Hard Rock.
Hey, Kim, how is Adam Gase, how is he approaching this, man? Because, you know, the old conversation of rest and rust, now you have the mental side of it with my house being hit by a hurricane. How is Adam Gase, is he adjusting practices? Is he doing anything understanding that the players are going through, you know, some stuff mentally and just the physical thought of going into an NFL season?
Well, I'll give you this. I think Steven Ross, you know, I think he's made it as palatable and as easy for these players for this as possible. And what they've done basically is just treated week one like a bye week. The guys had 4 days off. They all gathered here afterwards. Some of the guys came in yesterday and some of the guys have been here a little earlier for the last couple of days. And so, You know, they did treated that as a bye week. They're starting practice today. And the fortunate thing for them is they're here in Oxnard, California, where the Dallas Cowboys have their training camp. So, Channing, you couldn't ask for a better facility. They got two great practice fields. They got a nice big weight room. The hotel that they're staying in, not a high rise, it's like a bunch of individual cottages or townhomes, if you want. So, you know, guys, the rooms have kitchens and the whole thing. So it's really, you couldn't ask for a better situation. I think he's done a good job, as he's done all along, of really keeping this team on even keel and understanding that, you know, families have kind of been, you know, tossed around a little bit. And, you know, some of them still have their families out here, but I think most of them will be going back within the next day or two. But it's really been pretty seamless. And the guys seem relaxed. They seem focused on what they've got to do. I did some interviews with a couple guys over the last couple of days, and they're all about, hey, look, you know, we know how important it is to get off to a quick start. You know, our families are good. Our homes are good. South Florida is getting back to as close to normal as possible. It's time for us to start focusing on football, and I think that's where their mindset is. I think this team had a really good training camp. They saw a lot of things during the preseason games, some that they really liked, some that they needed to improve on. And I think they've been a pretty focused football team all along, and I wouldn't expect anything different going into this game on Sunday.
Kim Bocamper is with us. That's kind of my question. Do they come out 4 o'clock on Sunday, and are they just emotionally flat because they've been through the ringer for a week and a half, or do they just come out and the cylinders are just blazing? They have been itching to go for, you know, over a week.
Doc, I wish I could tell you that. I think that's the big question is how are they going to respond from this? Are they going to respond, you know, is a team that's kind of chopping at the bit? They've had, you know, you can look at it and say, hey, they've had a couple weeks to heal up and to get themselves, get their legs back from under them. You're away from the humidity and everything in South Florida. And you know, I'm sure you guys have both been to California. I mean, there's no, the weather couldn't be any better to play football in out here. So I think that's a bit of advantage to them. And then you look at the Chargers. They played on a Monday night game and had to travel back. So they've got a short week that they've got to deal with the travel. So, you know, I think, you know, I wish I could tell you how they're going to come out and play. I would expect them to come out and play with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of effort to get the job done. I mean, look, I don't think effort was ever a problem with this team last year. I wouldn't expect it to be a problem this year, but you know, until they kick it off and we see what happens with this team, you know, who knows? I mean, look at some of the games this weekend. I mean, look at how poorly the Colts looked, and you know, in some of those games you looked at, and you know, it's the NFL. You just never know what to expect on a given Sunday.
Cam, I haven't talked to you since the roster, since they had to put the roster together, cut, what, 37 guys, I believe. Are you happy with the roster? Any surprises for you? One of the biggest ones was Parkey and Hack, you know, taking over the kicking job. But any other big surprises for you?
No, I don't think so. I think they got the guys back in the practice squad they wanted to get on. I really can't think of anybody that, you know, kind of surprised me when they let Sam Young go, and then a day later they picked him back up, and that was just a move to get Urbick, you know, where he could come back a little sooner when he's ready. But I think they're very happy with the roster. You know how it is. They got some linebackers out here that will be running down the special teams and doing those types of things. And, you know, the question for this team, I think, which has been a constant since they went into training camp, is still going to be that offensive line, in particular that left guard. But adding to the left guard is the fact that, you know, Juwan James hasn't played very well during the preseason games, and Tunsil has struggled a little bit. And so I think this offensive line, to me, is the biggest concern and the biggest question going in now, a little more so than just that guard position that we've been talking about really for about 6 months now. Now I think you look over on the right side with Juwan James over there, and you say, hey, you know, he's got to get his head out there and get playing a little better than as he did last year and so far through training camp. I think that's one of the reasons why they kept some extra tackles on this team, just in case they've got to make some change over there.
And what's going on with Ray Mallaluga? Because I'm worried about this running game with Melvin Gordon. I know he only had 60 yards, I think, on 18 carries, but they're giving him the ball a lot. He had 6 targets, 5 catches. We need our linebackers to play well. Is he going to play if one of those other guys get hurt, speaking of Timmons or Kiko?
You know, I, I saw Ray this morning in the dining room, and he certainly looks in better condition than he was. He's down, I think he was 20 pounds over or something like that when he got here. He's down to the weight that they want him to be at. I think about 250 or whatever what he normally plays at. Mike Cole, he was, is going to start this game as a starter, but I would expect that I would expect Malaluga to be active, and I would expect him to probably get, you know, maybe 10 to 15 plays in sharing time, because I think ultimately by week two or week three, I think they'd like Malaluga to be the guy in there, because that gives them three just stout linebackers. Timmons is just a beast. We saw him in his in the last preseason game. He just lit people up. And that guy, I talked to him yesterday, and I used to look at him. He's just a, you know, James Harrison kind of took him under his wings there and taught him how to do those crazy, you know, his crazy weightlifting programs. And he looks like a rock. And then if you put Malaluga in there, all of a sudden you're looking at a linebacker core. And then with William Hayes on the defensive end on the right side, those guys could go a long way to helping this team be the type of run defense that they want to be, and not what we saw, not another repeat of what we saw last year.
Kimbo Camper, he is in Oxnard, California with the Dolphins. They kick off Sunday, finally, 4 o'clock.
You know, Hawk, the thing about it is, you should be happy. You can put on a little pair of those little soccer shorts you like to run around in and watch the game, since they're going to play in a soccer stadium anyway.
I got to tell you, I still don't have electricity at my house, so I'm wearing just those short shorts and nothing else. And that's
wear those short shorts, and you can go over to Bo Campers and watch the game. We'll have it on.
Yeah, I'll enjoy some air conditioning and some hot food.
And have air conditioning too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds good, man. Are you going
Look, now that and I know all our people know you, Hawk. Everyone's big fans of your show, so. As they should, when you walk in, they'll probably charge you double, but that's okay.
Pretty much happens wherever I go.
Down the big money now.
Even the places I endorse, that pretty much happens to me wherever I go. Hey, I'm Hockman. I'm the guy that does your commercial. That's right. It's double for you. We appreciate that. Are you going to London?
After you say that, is the next thing you say, hey, where's Channing at?
Oh, listen, my whole life is, hey, how's Channing? Hey, Channing's great. Hey, Channing's really good on the radio. I never hear anything about me other than Channing's really good on the radio. Hey, Channing has a TV show. How come you don't have a TV show? Crazy, man.
Oh, don't get me started on that TV show now.
As high quality as you and isn't it, Kim?
That was the only good part about getting my electricity knocked out.
Yeah. That show reminds me of the traffic down here in L.A. in Southern California.
Are you going to London with the team, Bo?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I am.
You have dollars, pounds, or euros? Do you know what to convert to?
The currency is still, there's still pounds over there.
Still pounds.
I remember the first time we went out there, I think it was 08 maybe. I think, Channing, you were on that trip, right?
Yeah. When the fire alarm went off?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I was there. I think at the time the pound was $2 to 1 pound. I think it's like $1.50 to one now, something like that. So not as bad as it used to be.
All right.
The money is crazy.
Crowder told the story earlier about he went out there.
The food's still bad over there.
Crowder was telling us earlier he bought a steak that he thought was a horse steak that he thought was $90 because it was 90 euros. And then he's like, I just paid $180 for a steak.
Killed me.
He's still thinking about it. It's 10 years later.
It still chews at you, doesn't it?
I'm telling you, get a $400 meal just for me. I was like, goodness.
They should have came with a saddle for that kind of
money. Telling you, Kim, but get you about 300 euro, go down the alley and find a red light. It's going to be a big Serbian, a gigantic Serbian. He's nice, though. Talk to him nice.
It's going to look like Tony Kukoc.
Oh, my
God. Right up to him.
Biggest human I've ever seen in my life were the security guards over there in London.
All right. Kimbo Camper.
I'll take your word for it, Shannon.
Thank you for making time for us, Bo. If you could email your different restaurants and let them know I might be coming in my short shorts.
Lock the door.
See you, Bo. Kimbo Camper in Oxnard, California with the Dolphins. Dolphins kick off their season Sunday in L.A., and you'll hear it here. Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder, host, countdown to kickoff at noon. And then Jimmy, Joe, Bob, and Kim Bocamper. That's Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, Bob Greasy, and Kim Bocamper. They will call the game against the Chargers. 4:05 kickoff right here on 560 WQAM and our sister station, Kiss 99.9. And then you've got Big O and Troy Stradford taking your calls on the fifth quarter show after the game. And don't forget, you can also listen to the game on the TuneIn Premium app. All right, that was Kim Bocamper. Always enjoy talking to him.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.